بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So my dear brothers and sisters, we've just talked about all these أمراض القلوب, the diseases, the weaknesses that we have. And it is said, if we do recognize some of these, it is said, just remember that there is no greater honor that Allah bestows on an abd, on a servant, than the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him aware of the lowliness of his nafs. And there is no greater lowliness that Allah afflicts his abd with than to veil him from consciousness of the lowliness of his nafs. So it's a grace. If you find faults within yourself, this is a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, just remember that. And all of this is not meant, yesterday I was told that some people felt depressed. This is not to make you depressed. Yes, you should be conscious, I should be conscious of, but this is to thrust us forward. I need to do something. It should be motivational rather than withdraw it. Nothing is too late. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting us to hear all of this, so that we make the necessary changes. Now we come to the next among the fruits of this tazkiyah, which is, as we said, once the tawheed comes within ourselves, once all of these diseases are addressed, gradually external actions start to change. How we act, how we talk, what we feel, our akhlaq. Akhlaq is what is our reality. There is khuluq, which is our exterior, and there is akhlaq. There is the khalq, which is our exterior, and there is akhlaq, which is our interior image. There's a beautiful dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we can learn and remind ourselves every day. Whenever he looked in the mirror, what did he say? Does anybody know this dua? Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, you have made my exterior beautiful, so beautify my interior, my khuluq. But if you just look, do I look good? Then that's not sufficient. Remind ourselves that I need to be internally beautiful. How do we become internally beautiful? Is through this whole process. So what is akhlaq? It is what comes naturally to us. And many of these things may not come naturally. Sometimes it requires an effort. That you keep doing it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us an example that a person lies. And he keeps lying, and he keeps lying, and he keeps lying till he is called a kadhab. That's his label. And a person may have weaknesses, but he starts to tell the truth. And he tells the truth. And he keeps telling the truth, till nothing else comes out from him except the truth. Then he is known as a siddiq, a truthful person. So on some of these things, we have to strive. And we keep working on it till that becomes a natural state, that that's what is going to come out from me when I'm faced with a challenge. So we have certain akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of which is ikhlas. This is our conduct with Allah. Ikhlas, that we should be pure, exactly what Allah wants. Allah is pure and He accepts nothing except that which is pure. So what we say, we should always ask, and this is the ultimate, this is the juice of the fruit. You know, you put the seed and the plant grows and the tree grows and the flowers come and the fruit comes and the fruit ripens, finally the juice comes out. That's what the whole process was about. That's why you put the seed in the ground. That's the last thing to come. But we need to keep working on that. Is there any other intention in my action other than Allah? Am I trying to please anyone else other than Allah? And try and purify that. Think about the action before we plan it, while we are doing it. Analyze it after. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, make me mukhlis, make me purely for you. Second is shukr. Akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be, we should be among the shakir. That everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows us with, we must acknowledge and we must show shukr. The least of which is to recognize that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to say with the tongue, to feel reality in the heart and feel grateful. And best of all, is to use that ni'mah, that blessing Allah has given us, whether it's the sight, whether it's our children, whether it's wealth, whether it's health, to use it in a way that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's showing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a practical way. Next is sabr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things, He is different than anyone else or anything else, so we cannot understand things. Allah is the wisest, therefore we accept what comes to us. And the least level of sabr is not to complain with the tongue. Higher than that is not even to feel in the heart that this condition should change. And higher than that is to actually have a rida, to feel pleased. Oh, this is what has happened. This is what Allah chose for me. What does it mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of a man who he gave everything to. Name and fame and wealth and family and power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually took everything away. The wealth was gone. Every property was gone. Finally the roof fell in and his whole family was wiped out except for his wife. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted him with one disease after another, till such time that parts of his body were disintegrating. They would come off. He was completely bedridden. He was thrown out of his village or township because people said, oh, we are going to catch this disease. All the wealth was gone. His wife used to go and work as a cleaning woman for people. This princess of one time. You know who I'm talking about? Ayyub alayhi salam. Ultimately a time came when Shaitan would go and incite people against them. They all even stopped giving her employment. And one day she's coming back and on the street she sees a nice dignified old man, kind looking man sitting there. He said, oh my little girl, you look distressed. She said, yes, I have some issues. Let me show you a solution. And he suggests for her something that implied shirk. So she comes home to her husband, who is bedridden, who cannot move by himself, he cannot move, and said, I met a nice old man on the street who suggested this as a solution to our problems. And Ayyub alayhi salam couldn't move except for his tongue. He said, if I could, I would give you 100 lashes for saying something like this. Because it implied shirk. And then what did he say? After all of this affliction, now he felt that even the iman in his family, the tawheed in his family was being attacked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it part of the Quran. It's very beautiful. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. And when Ayyub called on his Lord, and how did he call on his Lord? أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He didn't say, Ya Allah, you have sent all these difficulties for me. He didn't say, why me? I am your prophet. He said, oh Allah, I have been massani. He downplayed. I have been touched by some affliction, some dur. And then what does, look at his adab with Allah. He knows it's coming from Allah. He doesn't say, you sent this. He says, I have been touched, third person. I have been touched by some difficulties and hardships and harm. And then he, what does he say? He doesn't say remove it. He says, "Wa anta arhamur rahimin," and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. That's all he said. Because when you say that, what will happen automatically? Allah is the most merciful. How beautiful. This is teaching us what sabr is. How we address. Because sometimes when these things happen, much less than what happened to him, we say, why me? I'm a righteous person. Are you as righteous as Ayyub? Alayhi salam. There is a companion, as we know, after Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit with his companions and teach them and talk about their dreams. And so some of the companions noted that one of his companions, as soon as the salah was finished, would leave. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, this person, he never joins us, he leaves. So next morning when he was leaving, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, he said, why is it that you don't sit in our companionship? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a reason. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm in a hurry. He said, tell me what is the problem. He said, Ya Rasulullah, between my wife and me, we have one sheet of cloth. So when you are leading the salah, I put on that sheet of cloth to cover my awrah, so I can join you in salah. And my wife doesn't have enough cloth at home to cover her awra to perform her fajr. So if I sit with you, by the time I get back home, her fajr would be qada. So I leave. So on this day, because of all of this happened, he got home a little late. So his wife said, why are you so late? So he narrated what had happened. And she became very upset. She said, you dared to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us. You complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Allah? Even the fact he wasn't complaining, just the fact that he mentioned it. This is sabr. This is sabr. One more. Imam, one of the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu anhu, was in a lot of pain in his last moments. And when you are in severe pain, those who have felt it, sometimes what happens? You moan. Little sounds come. So one of his great companions of his time, and those are the companions, he came to visit him during his sickness, and he was sitting with him, and he heard a few groans, a few moans from the pain of the great Imam. And he didn't let it go. He talked to him, he said, Ya Imam, our Salaf people before us used to consider any sound that came from pain as a complaint, as a shakwa. From that moment till he died, nobody heard a moan or a groan from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. This is called sabr. This is called shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how, these are examples for us. This is akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul. To depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that everything have absolute dependence on Allah. When we make our effort, after the effort, during the effort, tawakkul with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about what is best. And having rida or pleasure with that, that if He's decided something other than what I wanted, that's the right thing, that's the best thing. And of course to have always our hopes and our fears should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have described that a life of a believer is like a bird with two wings. Hope of Allah's forgiveness and fear of his disobedience. And the closer we get to the end of our lives, what should be more? Hope. One person was dying and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit him. He said, how do you feel? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have fear of my actions, of what I have done. And I have hope of Allah's forgiveness. He says, whoever dies in this state will enter. Allah will protect him from what? he is afraid of, and give him what he hopes for, which is Allah's forgiveness. And of course, one of the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of akhlaq is to always remember him. Now we come, again, like I said, this is just brief because of limitation of time. Akhlaq with people, how we behave with each other. So if we have tawheed and we know that a Muslim, because now I'm a Muslim, I have tawheed in me, cannot lie, then I become a truthful person. Nothing, so when I say something, people know that that's the truth, and that's what should come out. So truthfulness in our words, truthfulness in our actions, and truthfulness in our ahwal. If I'm showing somebody my condition, if I'm looking for somebody's sympathy and I show them that I need sympathy, that's not truthfulness. Okay. If I'm looking for some help in monetary and I make myself look poorer than I am, that's not truthfulness. If I am showing people that I am more righteous and pious than I am to impress people, that's not truthfulness. So this is something we must work on. No matter what, and when are you challenged? When do people lie? When there is something to gain or protect themselves from something, some harm. No matter what's going to happen, say the truth. Then leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the situation. Sometimes it may be a test for you. Maybe it will lead you into difficulty. But you are going to difficulty in a state of truthfulness. Trustworthiness, and as was reminded yesterday, these are character traits, these are titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, As-Sadiq al-Amin. When you are trusted with anything, with information, with a word, with something, somebody came to you for advice, that should remain with you. If you are trusted with a possession, somebody gave you wealth, I keep this, and when the time comes about, I don't remember you gave me anything. Trust whatever you are entrusted with. Among the trust is what? Your wealth, because this is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the trust is your health. It's a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are smoking, you're violating that trust. If you're doing anything that harms you, you're violating that trust. The children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you are a trust. Allah takes them back when He wants. Therefore, fulfill the rights of the children. Teach them the right thing. This is a trust. You preserve and protect the trust. Become trustworthy so that anybody, guess who used to bring their things for safekeeping with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His arch enemies, the kuffar, who didn't believe in his message, but they wanted something kept safely, they would bring it. You know, one of the reasons why Ali radiallahu anhu was left in Mecca when the hijrah took place, besides lying on the bed at that time, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the trust of some of the kuffar, and he said, Ali, return these to the owners and then make your way to Medina. Against his enemies. Trust. We have to learn to be forgiving. Don't take things personally. Somebody wronged you. Move on. Forget about it. Don't just keep it and keep it and keep it. Forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave. I gave you some examples. There are hundreds of examples. Forgive, forgive. Let it go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah. If you forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. If you fulfill the needs of a person, find people who are needy, who don't ask. You fulfill the person's need of the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your needs of the dunya and the akhirah. You cover the faults of people. They make mistakes. You don't have to point it out. Do you know what so-and-so is doing? Do you know what they do? They do this. If you cover, put satr, cover their faults. Why? Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover your faults in the dunya and on the day of judgment. You fulfill the needs of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your needs in the dunya, and especially on the day when you are most needy, the day of judgment. Gentleness, rifq, gentleness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever gentleness, softness enters anything, it makes it beautiful. Be gentle with people. Gentle, kind, considerate. Gentle with the words. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, as you know in the hadith, what is Islam? And he said, Islam is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know the hadith of Jibreel. In another place he was asked, what is Islam? He said, that you feed, أَطْعَمُ الطَّعَامُ وَأَتِيبُ الْكَلَامُ, that you feed people and you talk gently to people. You talk beautifully to people. You talk softly to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two of his chosen to the worst of humanity. He sent Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam to Fir'aun and gave him instructions. Gave them instructions what? Talk to him, qawl and layyin, gentle words. And Allah knows he's not going to listen. It's for us. Even so, none of us are as bad as Fir'aun. So should we talk to them as like that? But even Fir'aun was sent his messengers. None of us are like Musa alayhi salam, and no one we'll visit is as bad as Fir'aun. So we should be gentle. Gentle in our words. We should always avoid suspicion, and we should always think good of people. Find excuses for people. If he's doing this, maybe there's a reason. Maybe he's not praying. Maybe he prayed at home. Think good of people. This is akhlaq. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, especially for believers, but this is for others also, that the wealth, the blood, the wealth, and the honor of a Muslim is sacred, is haram for another Muslim. Nothing we do should harm the person physically, should harm his wealth or his property and his honor, which is what we do with our tongues. Akhlaq, generosity. Generosity. Be generous. The least of which is to smile. Sadaqah. Be a smiling person. So, oh, he's become very muttaqi. He's now like this, he never smiles. That's not Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bassam, smiling. We're not saying you go into fits of laughter all the time, because excessive laughter also hardens the heart. But be smiling, be pleasant to people, that people feel good. Spread the salam, afshu salam. What does that mean? When I say assalamu alaikum, means your blood, your property, your honor is safe with me. That's salam. So, be generous, give, be giving. Most of us are takers, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. Give. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people, you know, you would say, well, he was poor. No, he was not poor. He was the wealthiest. Why? Because a lot of wealth came and he gave it away. Does that make you poor? That shows you how rich you are. You don't need anything, you're just giving it all away. Giving it all away. One time Imam Al-Junaid with his ashab went to for Hajj, and they were sitting around the Baytullah, and a very generous, good Muslim of Makkah heard that Al-Junaid is here with his ashab. So he came, he was a very wealthy man. He looked at them, they looked like beggars because the clothes were so simple and all. So he came with a bag full of gold coins. He put it, Ya Sheikh, this is a hadiah for you, for your companions. So Al-Junaid let him put the money there. Then he asked him, do you have more? He said, yes, I have more. He said, would you like to have more? He said, yes, I would like to have more. So Junaid picked it up and gave it to him. He said, you need this more than we need it. Generosity. But telling you that if we have that zuhud, that we are content with what? Contentment with Allah. What is, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes richness. Who is rich? The one who is content with what he has. A person may have, it's not dependent on what you have. It is what is the state of your heart. You may have billions, and if you're not content, then you don't have that. So qana' and zuhud, to feel that I don't need anything more. This is the ultimate richness. I don't need to go. One time, many years ago, people came to America, and we took them into these big grocery stores. And he insisted on going through every aisle. And there are aisles after aisles loaded up. So I said, you know, wondered why he did that. So we asked him, you know, are you looking for something? He says, no. So why are you doing this? Wasting time. He says, I want you to see how many things there are that I don't need. This is a lesson for us. Haya, we talked briefly about that, having haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah is always watching me. Allah always sees me. He hears every word I say. Allah sees inside me the thoughts that are coming, the thoughts that I'm entertaining, the inclinations I have. So anything that's displeasing to Him, I have haya. I move away. Allah is with me. He's watching me. He knows. يَعْلَمُ سِرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He even knows what is hidden inside, and أَخْفَى, thoughts that haven't even yet formulated. He already knows that. I don't want Him to see me with anything that He doesn't like. Haya with Allah. I feel ashamed. And similarly, haya with people. Okay? Rasulullah, one of the companions, the most who was known for his haya is who? Uthman radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once was reclining with who? With Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhumah. And as he was reclining, part of his shirt lifted up, so the lower part of his thigh was exposed. And he didn't do anything about it. And then there's a knock on the door, and Uthman radiallahu anhu enters. And as he sees Uthman radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulls his shirt down to cover his thigh. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we were with you. Why did you do this? He said, should I not have haya with someone with whom the angels even have haya? Haya with people. Especially, how can I be seen disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This should be, again, something that comes from within. Humility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawadu. Okay. How should we be with people? We'll summarize it in three sentences. If you cannot benefit someone, then do not at least harm him. If you cannot bring happiness to a person, don't bring him grief. If you cannot find something to praise about someone, then don't say something. Speak ill of him. If we keep that in mind, inshallah, we will take care of a lot of these things. Now, as our Shaykh keeps reminding you, that this is practice, it's not theory, it's not a feel-good session, it's not a depression session. So I have tried to formulate some practical steps that you can implement according to your capacity, all together or sequentially, some of the things. That it's nothing other than what we have discussed yesterday and today. Set aside time for a daily diet of useful ilm. Pondering on the Quran, learning one or two ayats. What do they mean? The ayats of greatness of Allah about the akhirah. Reading some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They talk about the tongue. They talk about the heart. Those sort of. I'm not talking about fiqhi issues. Okay, that's also important. But in this pursuit, things that would help you. Reading about tazkiyah, reading some of the notes that you have taken to remind you. Daily set aside, there should be something every day. Just like you feed your body, you feed your ruh with something useful every day. Number two, every day, maybe before you go to sleep, renew your tawbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, this is what my life has been, this is what I have done, this is what I have done today. I beg your forgiveness. I promise to stop. I have stopped. I promise not to return back to this. I'm making my effort to make up all of what I need to do daily with sincerity. Tawbah. Number three, set aside time for khalwa, for solitude, to think and reflect like we talked yesterday. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you can take, preferably when there is no disturbance. When people are not going to bother you, when the bell is not going to ring, when the phone is not going to ring, when things... Where you sit in pure solitude and you reflect. And you're not sitting there. The solitude itself is not the goal. It's a means to the goal. That you use that time to do certain things. Like setting conditions for yourself. Reflecting, who am I? That's the ultimate. Who am I? What is the state of my nufus? What is the state of my qalb? What are the diseases I have? What effort do I need to make to change? And making conditions and at the end for tomorrow and making a hisab, an accountability of how did I comply with those things. Sit in khalwa, in solitude for that. Dhikr, we talked about. Set aside time for reading the Quran. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Start with what you are able to do regularly. And you can increase on that as Allah inspires you. Preferably after Fajr. Sit down with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and read. It's not how much you read, but it's how much focus you read. Read it for what it is, and then spend some time trying to understand the meaning. What is the message of my Lord for me? What do I need to do? Extra salawat. Doing some extra salah, doing the adhkar that you can find online and in books that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for the morning and for the evening. There's a whole list of them. Start with a few, two or three. And when you start doing them regularly and you feel hunger for more, you do more. What you say, you must know the meaning and you must internalize. It's not just, dhikr is not just, actually it is on the tongue, but better than that is, it should be in the heart, or both. Okay? Spending some time in istighfar, preferably just before the sun rises. What is istighfar? Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Thinking about the things that we have done, and asking for forgiveness. 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. The ultimate best time is the time of sahar, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those. Mustaghfirina bil ashar. Those who ask for forgiveness at the time of sahar, before dawn. Sit. You can sit with beads. Count 100 times. Why? Because the one who was sinless used to do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he would sit in gatherings and people would count that he is saying astaghfirullah. And there are many forms of astaghfirullah, longer forms, the sayyadul astaghfar. What a short form. Start with the short form, astaghfirullah. Two words combined in one. Oh Allah, I beg for your forgiveness. And think, feel it, astaghfirullah. Feel the cleansing. Bring those spots on your heart. Imagine those spots. I lied, astaghfirullah. I did this, astaghfirullah. Don't be in a rush to count the beads. Feel it. The beads are to help you to count and to know so that you're not just focusing on counting. You can use your fingers, you can use what you want. Tahleel, la ilaha illallah. 100 times in the morning and evening. La ilaha illallah. Think of what that means. This is the ultimate ultimate of all statements, La ilaha illallah. Feel it in your heart. Look within your heart. Feel the cleansing that it brings. Empty that. Feel physically you are emptying your heart. La, la, cleanse, cleanse. Ilaha illallah. It's just like a garden. When a gardener is to make a garden, what does he have to do? Remove the weeds, remove the thorns, remove the rocks. La ilaha. Take out everything that's in there. Then you put the seed of illallah. Reflect 100 times. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Oh Allah, you are above all imperfections in everything. Wa bihamdihi. And praise and thanks be to you. 100 times. 2, that are light on the tongue, heavy on the scale. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And sending salah and salam, durood sharif. Allahumma salli ala sayyid. Long forms, short forms, multiple forms. Start with a short form that you can do regularly. If nothing else, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali. 100 times in the morning, 100. Make this a daily wird. Number 5, work on the quality of each salah, on focus. Do 2 rak'ah nafil. Then judge yourself, how was it? Let me do 2 more and see if I can focus a little bit better, gradually. So working on that, very, very important. Number 6, hifzul lisan wa ghaddul basar. Protect your tongue. We talked about the tongue, the one, the master control of everything. Guard the tongue every day and guard your eyes. Take to some form of extra fasting, nawafil fast. This is again part of that thing, eating less, training ourselves so that the nafs doesn't become uncontrolled and strong. The example of that is like a horse that is untrained and that hasn't been broken, and the rider gets on and he starts bucking. Now if you keep feeding that horse and making it stronger, what will it do? It will throw you off quicker. That's the state of our nafs. The nafs has to be controlled. It has to, if it's rebelling, treat it with hunger. Make it weak so you can control it. Fasting, you can start with 3 days in a month. The 3 white nights as they're called, 13, 14, 15. You can start with 1 day a month. You can go to Monday and Thursday fasting. Some form of fasting. Dua and munajat, as we said, talking, conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua at all those special opportune moments where dua is specially accepted. Be sincere in the dua. Follow the adab of the dua. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Persist and insist and keep just like a beggar. They don't go away. They keep knocking on the window of your car till they get something. Be a beggar in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to not leave your door, ya Allah. Dua. Start getting up for tahajjud. If you don't at all, 1 night in a week, where you don't have to rush off to work next morning. Increase it, see, because this is essential part of this, getting into the habit of tahajjud. About one companion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he has got all the good qualities only if he would be regular with his tahajjud, when he found out that he was not. And from that day till he died, he never skipped 1 tahajjud. So there is special spiritual blessings because, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he descends in his own majestic way in the last third of the night. And there are special moments where he asks, is there someone who is looking for my forgiveness? Is there someone who needs something that I can give him? Special moments. So get up a little bit before Fajr so you have, and not just so you have to rush that I did so many. Start with 2 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah, but slowly, slowly, with reflection, with focus, when there is no other distraction. And as we mentioned when we started today, guard the environment that you expose yourself to, the companions that you expose yourself. Limit your exposure to people and environments that are harmful. And as we mentioned yesterday, I'll put an 11th one on this, try always to be in a state of external tahara, so that it may have a wudu as much as you can, so that it may help to achieve internal tahara. Wudu, yeah, to be tahur. So as we said, I hope that this session has been one of hope. This is to give us hope. It's not to make us depressed, because we have a job to do. Just remember, were it not to pardon his creatures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have afflicted the best of his creation with sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to commit sins. Kullu bani Adam qatta. All the children of bani Adam will sin, they are sinners. Wa khairul khatta'in at-tawwabun. The best of those who turn in tawbah. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we didn't sin, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he would have removed us and brought someone else who sinned. Which, this is not a license for you to sin, by the way. This is to tell you the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have hope in him.
What happens when tawbah is...
You renew your tawbah. We are weak. You may make a promise, you break it. That shouldn't... Okay, make the intention again. Renew the tawbah again. You do your best. Even if you keep falling into the same weakness, if you are sincere and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, analyze why you keep falling into that sin. Most often it's going to be this: the environment and the companionship that leads to that. So, someone has said that there are three types of people. There's a person whose concern for the akhirah keeps him too busy from his dunya. And he is among the faizin or faizun, the successful. There is a person whose concern for the dunya keeps him too busy from his akhirah. And he is from the halikin, the ones who are destroyed. And there is a person who is busy both with dunya and with akhirah. And they say he is among the mukhatirun, the ones who are in danger. They are the risk takers, concerned with both, because they are on a slippery slope. They could fall one way or the other. So the major concern should be for the akhirah. And when you have some time left from that, you are free to pursue the dunya. That's the real balance. And you said, when you talk about, you should have some balance in your life. Well, what is the balance? One way of balance is, you work for this dunya as long as you plan to live here, and work for the akhirah as long as you plan to live there. That's balance. I mean, that's justice. All right? I'm going to conclude with a few quotes from our Salaf. Someone said, let your home be khalwa. Let your meal be hunger. Let your words be munajat, communication with Allah. Either you die trying to fight your ailment, or you reach a cure. Someone has said, it's very beautiful. Oh Allah, how can I ever be happy when I have disobeyed you? Oh Allah, how can I ever not be happy when I have known you? Oh Allah, how can I ask you when I am a sinner? Oh Allah, how can I not ask you when you are the most generous? Just reflect on those. And one of the people of this path, Ibn Ata'ullah Sikandari, said words to the meaning of which is this. He said, "O Allah, what has he lost who has found you? And what has he gained who has lost you?" اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. O Allah, give taqwa to our nufus and purify our nafs. You are the guardian, the owner, and the best of those who purify. اللهم اقسم لي من خشيتك ما تحول به بيني وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغني به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تحون به علي مصائب الدنيا. O Allah, apportion for me from your reverent fear that keeps me away from sinfulness and your disobedience. And apportion for me from your obedience that I obey you to the extent that it helps me reach Jannah. And O Allah, apportion from me yaqeen and certainty so that I can go through the trials and tribulations of this dunya. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الأربع من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from ilm, from knowledge that is not useful, from a heart that is not in reverent fear of you, from a nafs that is not satiated, and from a dua that is not heard or answered. اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من ينفعني حبه عندك. اللهم ما أتيتني مما أحب فاجعله لي قوة فيما تحب. اللهم ما زويت عني مما أحب فاجعله لي فراغا فيما تحب. اللهم O Allah, I ask you for your love and the love of those that will benefit me with you. O Allah, what you give of me, give to me of that which I love. Make it a strength for me to do that which you love. And Allah, what you keep away from me of that which I love, make it free time for me to do that which you love. Allahumma tahhir qalbi mimma siwak وأقمني بالصدق الأبودية بين يديك. O Allah, grant in our hearts, in my heart, the reality of Tawheed, and let us be among those who stand in front of you having fulfilled the rights of Ubudiya with sincerity. Ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.